Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Brian.
Once again, this morning's sermon text will be taken from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 8. We'll be working out of that text. It reads, "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." This morning's sermon is an exhortation on Christian giving. Every day presents an opportunity to give a Christ-like love to others, to serve others in the name of Christ, to put a smile on someone's face, or to ease someone's burdens in their time of need. We are not limited to, but the holiday season of giving is upon us. And what better way to glorify God than to give of ourselves or our means to others? To be a blessing that benefits others. So let's put this morning's sermon text in context. And we're going to begin our reading in Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. In which the subtitle reads, "Be generous and do good." It reads, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. But he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." One of the main truths about the Christian life is about giving of ourselves. This is what God did, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. Not only did Jesus give himself as a propitiation for our sins, he gave himself as an example to live like. So through the Bible, we get to see God in the flesh. We get to see what he's about, how truly wonderful he is. The Christian walk is about following Jesus' footsteps, trying to mirror his attitude in all situations, taking your cross and bearing it, becoming more of a giver of ourselves. In the sermon text, the Apostle Paul uses the term sowing and reaping. This is a common phrase used throughout the Bible. Many people in biblical times worked on the land, producing food, crops. They were working with animals. So they understood this agricultural principle in which Paul presented as a truth for all areas in life. Sowing is described as a form of action, and reaping is a consequence to that action. Job 34:11 reads, "For he repays man according to his work, and makes man find a reward according to his way." Sowing and reaping. In the reading, we are encouraged that if an opportunity arises, let us be generous and do good, especially to our fellow brothers and sisters of our faith. In verse 6, we are prompted to support the ministry, help out the leader of our flock, whom helps us comprehend and understand the mysteries of the word. You know, pastor has a full play, and if God has supplied us with the means or the gifts or the abilities, let us use them and share them Let us help grow the ministry. Help it flourish. That's what verse 6 is basically about. Because one of the main reasons we are here is to glorify God in His house. So why not use your gifts to help the ministry as well? 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 9 through 11 reads, "Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Romans 12, chapter 12, verses 9 through 11 read, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." Friends, so do not neglect the gift that is within you, but stir it up, exercise it, pump it up. A quote by Leo Bastaglia reads, "Your talent is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God." So back to our text. Paul talks about two kinds of sowing. Sowing to the flesh, which is evil, or sowing to the spirit, which is eternal. Believers, the challenge this morning is to look within ourselves. Is there any hidden motives or agendas for the good deeds we do for others? Verse 7 in our reading states, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." So we can put on a show for others, correct? But God knows our hearts. Some people are described as having a heart of gold. But truthfully, only God knows a person's heart. He's the only one. God sees past the good deeds that we do because He's looking at our hearts. Psalms 44:21 reads, "Would not God search this out? For He knows the secrets of the heart." Jesus said that these people draw near to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me. So our hearts tell the story of why we do things. In goal setting, the why is more important than the how. If you don't have a big enough why for doing something, then chances are your how is not going to matter. It's all about the why. And Jesus, He had an issue with the Pharisees because of the reasons why they did things. Their why was not the right reason for doing good. Jesus said in Luke 16, verse 15, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." The Pharisees were sowing to the flesh rather than the spirit. So I want to dig into the meat of this, because at times, if we see it or not, we may act like a Pharisee around others. making ourselves look better than what we really are. And I'll tell you that this is the worst thing you can do as far as evangelizing to others. When I try to lead others to Christ, sometimes I use the Ten Commandments, and I'll go over some of the commandments, and I always admit, I broke this one, I broke that one, I did this, I did this. I'm never trying to make myself look better than what I really am. It's kind of like giving your testimony at the same time helping them realize their need for Christ. Because that's what helped me. So we have to be real about putting ourselves on the same playing field. We need to remain humble, brothers and sisters, and not act like a Pharisee around others. So I want to give look at some examples of why people may sow to the flesh. And here we go. And the reason why they may sow to the flesh is, you know, for one, they're trying to do right things, but they're doing it for the wrong reasons. So I just want to get into a couple of those. Colossians 3:23 reads, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." So examine yourselves, friends. Is there any ulterior motives for your good deeds concerning others? Are you looking for rewards? Are you looking for recognition? Are you simply just trying to impress others? Or just trying to get money for something? If these reasons are the root of your sowing, then you are sowing to the flesh, friends. You have a divided heart, and you are seeking to please men or yourself more than God. For example, one reason why some people do charity work or give to others is to make themselves feel better. It becomes a personal motive than an outward motive. The "what's in it for me" attitude is definitely not a Christ-like attitude to have. The underlying motive within a person may be a lack of sincerity. And if this is you, then pray about it. Go to God and pray about it. Sadly, there are many people that will not even help out their own family members in any situation unless they get paid for it. That's sowing to the flesh. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money. So having a divided heart definitely sows to the flesh rather than the spirit. Another reason people sow to the flesh rather than the spirit is to be seen, to be noticed. Look at me. The flesh always wants to be recognized for something. But we as ambassadors for Christ need to fight the flesh concerning this. And no doubt it can be hard. I find this happen a lot, especially on social media. Many people, they do acts of kindness only to broadcast it on the web and see how many likes they can get to promote themselves. They may take pictures of themselves helping an elderly person just to get recognized. It reminds me of a business that has a great big donation check to present, but hold on, let's get it in the newspaper. Got to get recognized. Paul basically said that if he had an attitude like this, always wanting to appease men more than God, then he would not be a bondservant of God. Did Jesus have an attitude of, "Look what I did"? No, he didn't. For example, when he healed the man with leprosy, he said that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest. This is what Jesus said about doing charitable deeds. He said, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret himself reward you openly. That was from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. So remain humble, brothers and sisters. Forget about trying to impress others with good deeds, but continue to impress upon God with your deeds. Let's continue with the second type of sowing Paul spoke about, which is spiritual sowing. How do we sow to the Spirit? Well, first of all, if you are an unbeliever, you're dead in your sins. Your good works are like filthy rags to God. And that really cuts people to the heart, because I've had this experience with people out on the streets trying to use their good deeds to try to get into heaven. And that kind of, when I say that to them, it kind of, you just see their reaction on their face, and you know that the Lord's word is cutting through their heart. John 6:63, Jesus said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Spiritual sowing is about believers doing work for the Lord, His glory, and not our own. Spiritual sowing is about having a true sincerity in your heart to do God's will. To have an attitude that God is first. Obeying Him is first. Doing His will and not your own will. Keeping Him first in our lives. We all know that it's easier said than done. But believers, we are God's workers. Are you sowing seeds that are fruit-worthy, or are you making weeds? Because weeds eventually kill anything good. John chapter 15, verse 16 reads, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. The earth is His vineyard. The seeds that we sow, or the fruit that we bear, are unto the Lord. Do not let pride become a part of your spiritual service to the Lord, because it's not. Remember, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. James chapter 3, verses 16 through 18 read, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now, the fruit of the righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Friends, think of yourselves as a fruit tree. Whatever kind is up to you. We all act fruity at times, so. God created fruit trees to produce fruit, not for its own benefit, but one for the benefit of others to enjoy, or two, if the fruit falls to the ground, to produce other fruit trees. So by way of application, let's produce spiritual fruit that benefits others. Fruit that is good to the core, that glorifies God in such a way that they keep coming back for more, and they multiply. Let's continue sowing the seed of the Word in people's lives. The most important thing we can do as Christians is sow a seed for Christ in others' hearts. It's the most important thing. But the bottom line is, sowing to the flesh is about you. And if people see those intentions, then they won't want nothing to do with you. It's like taking a bite out of a nice looking apple to see that it's rotten in the inside. Sowing to the Spirit is about God. Brothers and sisters, remember who we're playing the game called life for. So you're either on the eternal team or the worldly team. The last scripture verse I want you to take heart to, it's about spiritual sowing. It comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. It reads, "But this I say to you, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God." This is sowing to the Spirit. Verse 9 in our scripture reading states, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. But remember, folks, the works or deeds you do are for His name and not your own. Hebrews 6:10 reads, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." In conclusion, just remember who we serve, who we glorify, who we gave our hearts to. Our sowing is in obedience unto the Spirit. Our sowing is unto the Lord Jesus, because He gave everything of Himself for us. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, first and foremost, thank You so much for what You have done for us, what You have given us, Your Son Jesus, as an atonement for our sins, as an example to live for. Thank You for all the blessings that You give us, Father, all the spiritual gifts You have blessed us with. Father, I pray that we continue to use these gifts in Your honor to glorify You, to grow Your ministry, to point people towards You, to magnify You, Father, and not ourselves. Father, I pray that You give us the strength, Father, to continue to fight the flesh. We all know that it wants to be recognized for everything. It wants all the recognition for itself, Father. Father, I pray that You continue to strengthen us, and that we continue to do our deeds. We sow unto the Spirit. We sow unto You. We magnify You. Father, I pray that you get rid of any hidden ulterior motives that we may have in our hearts. That you work to destroy that. And you give us nothing but a sincerity in our hearts and a love and a joy to do your will whenever you want, all the time. Father, thank you again for every blessing you bestow us. Please help us to continue to use the benefits that you have given us, the blessings that you have bestowed upon us for others, others in need this day and every day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now use this time to offer one another a sign of peace.